fasten your championship belts, because this podcast is unprofessional. Welcome to your weekly home for wrestling reviews, discussion, predictions, and more. This is Unprofessional Wrestling. Here are your hosts, Schwartz, George, and Travis.
Six, the bell is going to ring. And what happens, Rock, when the bell rings, right? Are you going to bring the great one? Are you going to be the hero that I had growing up? Are you going to have all that big Dwayne energy? Or is it just going to be LDS, Little Dick Syndrome?
Little Dick, Little Dick, Little... Don't point at me. Sorry, that's you.
Fake well, news.
Anyways, thanks for checking out the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast. We're unprofessional because we chant Little Dick. At least I did. Boys, we are three SmackDowns and two Monday Night Raws away from WrestleMania.
Fuck yeah.
Holy crap, really?
That's coming up quick, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think in the last couple of shows, we've seen that things are building and we're starting to see the final forms of cards and all of that jazz. So we're getting the final details ironed out here.
Yeah. Do you think it's a little rushed on some of these things?
A couple.
On some of these?
A couple, yeah.
Like the LA Knight, AJ Styles. It just seems like there's not enough to it.
For me, I think the big one for me is the Usos. Like, obviously there's something there, but I think that should have had a longer, more intense build-up.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that they'll do something more to make it, I don't know, get to that point. It just doesn't feel like it's time yet.
I wish they would have held off to like SummerSlam or something.
Yeah. Well,
but I'll tell you later.
Perfect. Well, over here in the middle, we got Schwartz. Over on the other side of the table, we've got George. And yeah, again, thank you everybody for checking out the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast. If you're checking us out on YouTube Live right now, please, please leave a comment in the chat, even if it's just to say hello, ask any questions. Phil Vishnanza says, Mississippi State wrecked my bracket. I haven't checked today, Phil.
Phil, that was a rookie move, man. It's always Michigan State, man.
Always Michigan State?
Yeah, round one. I don't know shit about basketball.
I don't know shit about basketball whatsoever.
Keep it that way.
You dribble and shoot it.
You kick field goals.
I mean, there are field goals, to be fair.
Do you kick them?
No, dummy.
Can you, though?
I love to sport.
I don't know if that's... Would that get you a penalty if you like, try to kick it into the hoop?
Yes. It'd be a kicking call.
Yes.
Oh,
it's a dead ball.
Oh, it's not like volleyball where you can use your feet?
Can you headbutt it?
Ooh.
I don't think you can try to headbutt it, but it would still be a live ball if you headbutted it, yeah.
Hmm.
Interesting.
We'll workshop this. We'll get all the clarification. Well, we got a lot to get into as usual, so let's get into the news. And our first story today is there is a Bray documentary. There's a Bray Wyatt documentary coming out on April 1st, which is this... not this coming Monday, but the Monday after on the cock. Peacock.
You should know that, though, because it's the day after your birthday.
You should know that because it's the cock and you know cock. Anyway.
Well, it's an April Fool's joke. That's what it is.
Ooh. That'd be a terrible one. That'd be a bad one.
Oh, boy.
And Cheeto's up on the table. Hey, Cheeto. He's trying to get away from Regal. So there was a trailer that came out for this documentary. It had Bo Dallas narrating the first part of it. It looks really good. There's a couple cool snippets that they showed, like what the Fiend's costume is going to look like when he returned. So it looked like there was a plan to bring the Fiend back. And obviously, unfortunately, that never happened. But that's what it was shaping up to. And yeah, that should be exciting to watch.
Yeah, I know that they're going to have a lot. It's going to be probably very emotional. You're probably going to get hit in the feels a lot, but I think they'll do him justice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Because nobody has talked more highly than the WWE of Bray Wyatt. So I think they'll do him justice.
Absolutely. Totally changed the game creatively, in my opinion. And definitely, The Fiend at this moment is my favorite character probably of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, yeah, I liked The Fiend over Taker. I liked him over Kane. I liked him over any of the other, like, I don't know, Mystique-like type of characters or whatever.
Boogeyman.
He's coming to get you. Boogeyman is in the new 2K game. I played as him last night. It was a guy named Brian Anger, and I beat his ass with the Boogeyman.
Who's the one person he views the most? Punk. It's got to be Punk.
Well, Punk's not.
Oh, yeah. No, no.
I downloaded like a custom made CM Punk to use in career mode because Punk doesn't come out until May.
Yeah, was his name was the guy that you used a lot named like Brock Bresner? That's what it rhymed with.
Brock's in the game. You just can't play as him. But he's in the career mode and the WrestleMania mode. Anyways. Bray Wyatt documentary, April 1st on the cock. Raquel Rodriguez was apparently taken off of the road, off of the active roster. Mm-hmm. Not sure if it's related to the medical things she's been dealing with or whatever else. But so that's unfortunate because they were giving her a hot return, even though at Elimination Chamber she was getting booed.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, though, it's still a bummer. So we'll wait to see what ends up being the deal there and. Hopefully she can come back sooner than later, of course. Next up, Darby Allin. Darby Allin was set to be climbing Mount Everest very soon. A couple weeks ago on Dynamite, post-Sting retirement match, he made a promo basically saying something along the lines of, you know, I love you guys in case I don't make it back from Mount Everest or whatever the deal was. Last week on Dynamite, he had a match. He broke his foot. He's no longer able to climb Mount Everest as scheduled. So
I totally saw something like this happening because of the wild ass stuff that he does.
Mm-hmm.
I'm honestly surprised he didn't hurt himself going through the glass.
His back was when he did that. Fucking gnarly.
That was a wild spot. Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't break his back.
Pretty ballsy, like, considering you're trying to climb Mount Everest soon.
Yeah. Why don't you take, like, chill out? You're just beating your body up before you go thousands of feet above sea level.
Yeah. That's a weird one. Anyways, other than that, the only other thing I got, not a lot in the news in the last week, Shayna Baszler is going to be wrestling for Josh Barnett's Bloodsport, I believe the Thursday before Mania. Mania weekend, which that's pretty cool. That's just another example of the things that are possible under the Triple H regime. But I mean, you know, this happened in NXT here and there too. Like I remember Adam Cole or whoever else going to wrestle for like Progress when they were NXT. So
it was an Evolve.
Yeah, whatever.
But you know, WWE owns Evolve, right?
No, they have a partnership with Evolve. They don't own Evolve.
I'm pretty sure they have a very high stake, which means they're basically the owners.
I'd have to look that up. I don't know if Evolve even exists anymore.
No, I think they're gone.
All right. Well, on to SmackDown. Let me ask you guys. What did you think of the opening segment of SmackDown with The Rock?
The song? Or
What was your takeaway from the entire thing?
Okay, yeah. George, you go first, because...
I mean, poor Mama Rhodes, for one.
Fucking poor Michelle.
Like, talking about, you know, beating the living hell out of Cody with a leather belt, giving it to her. It's like, that's just... I haven't seen, like, a promo like that in a long time.
Sure. Okay.
And then I got thinking, like, what about Cody's brother? And then the next day, there's a video on X
mm-hmm.
of Dustin saying, mm-hmm. fuck The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
with two title belts in his hand.
Yep.
And it looks like they're his title belts, like his camp, I guess. I don't even know. What do they call it? His factory?
He's got a training school.
Wrestling academy.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I was going to get into that. I have a feeling that they're going to bring in... You think he brings in Dustin Rhodes, or is it Gold Dust? Honestly, I feel like this is a family affair kind of thing. It's going to end up being something like that.
Unless there's some sort of special thing set up between WWE and AEW, I highly doubt it, but it would be really cool to get more of the family involved with it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you kind of got the Rhodes family and the Inouye family, and I could get behind that.
The Anawahi family.
Yeah, whatever, man. Words.
It's okay. But, you know, did you see the whole saga with the Sting thing where AEW asked if they could get some WCW footage and WWE pretty much said, nah, fuck
well,
off.
I saw other reports that said they never even asked. So
I don't know. But I just feel like if they couldn't get Sting stuff, then I doubt they're going to get Dustin for a night.
WWE had Billy Gunn for the Hall of Fame while he was under AEW contract.
Right, but I feel like AEW probably has a bad taste in their mouth right now.
Time will tell.
Yeah.
Your thoughts.
Yeah, we'll see.
Shorts on that segment.
I loved it. I loved the theme. I know for a fact that Triple H is listening to the fans, because all I've seen on X, Twitter, is that people wanted that theme music so bad. Mm-hmm. I wanted it so bad. It just puts him in a different, you know, a different level with that song.
Right.
Because you just think of his old Hollywood Rock, and that Hollywood Rock just gave zero shits about anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's exactly what they needed.
Yeah, that was very rad. No doubt about it.
Tiny thing on the side, though. When the hell has he become the final boss?
A couple weeks ago?
Did you hear that?
He made it official a couple weeks ago.
They dub him as the final boss. What the hell has he done other than his past, which is, you know, just whatever. It's good. He's never had a final boss level. I see more Roman as a final boss level than The Rock.
I see it as you have to beat Roman and then you get to The Rock, which is the final boss. You know, like, you know, you got Solo, Jay, Jimmy, Roman, then The Rock. It's like, if there isn't a match with Cody and The Rock down the road, why are we saying the final boss?
I also think that maybe he's considering himself the final boss because he is on the board of TKO. He has a level of power. I think he considers himself a boss of the company, and maybe that's where final boss is coming from.
Yeah. I just don't see him as a final boss. I mean, yeah, his title and everything, but I see Roman as a final boss more than I do The Rock. Like, I like the way that he actually dubbed himself when he first came back and he called himself the High Chief. I like that more than the final boss. It just sticks better.
Well, so getting into SmackDown here, basically it opens with The Rock. His sweet-ass entrance that we saw the week previous with the lightning and all that jazz. He comes out, his normal music's playing, and then stops on the stage. Music switches over to Hollywood Rock. Rock is, of course, being cheered as the music settles down, as he usually does. He then starts to mention about how he talks shit in every city he's in normally. But he's not going to do that in Memphis. He won't talk trash about Memphis because of how much Memphis means to him. This is where, from this point on, The Rock could have said or done any shitty thing. He could have taken a bag full of newborn puppies, lit it on fire, and punted it into the crowd, and they still would have cheered him.
I wouldn't go that far. Holy fuck.
No, that, you are. You are 100% right.
That, I don't understand why the hell they did it this way, and nobody can convince me that most of that promo was not a babyface promo.
He tried. I could see he tried to kind of poke a little bit, but also not like just completely shit on him.
Yeah.
He now saying good shit about Memphis was not the way to do it. You're obviously not going to get the reactions you want. At that point, it was over with after he said that. It wasn't going to matter. Yeah. He wasn't going to get booed no matter what he did. He should have said something like, you know, it's unfortunate I have to come back to the shit city. I had to get out of here in order to make myself successful. He would have got booed, and then people would have been reacting the way that they probably want them to react to Rock. So there's that. And he talked about how he was home and all that. So that was very no bueno. He introduces some local musicians and says he wants to sing a song. And, of course, he sings a song, Badmouths Cody and Seth and the Crybabies and yada, yada, yada. I mean, he got some boos here and there at this point, but it wasn't discernible, and it wasn't overall. He had more cheers than anything. The singing gets done. Rock makes fun of Cody crying about not being able to give his dad the belt when he wins. But, of course, he's still able to give it to his mom, as he talked about in the promo on Raw. Rock says that Cody will not be giving his mother the Universal title and leans over the table and grabs a black bag. And out of that, he pulls a custom weight belt, similarly to how Cody has a weight belt.
Mm-hmm.
So he's talking to Mama Rhodes. Now he's talking to Michelle. So he basically says Mama Rhodes is not going to be handed the championship belt, but instead she's going to be handed the Rock's belt.
Mama Rhodes is going to be a belt just like this. And the Rock is going to take this belt and he's going to beat your son. He's going to beat the piss out of your son, and the Rock is going to make your son bleed. He's going to tear his skin, tear his flesh. And he's going to whoop him. He's going to whoop him like a dog over and over and over again. And Mama Rhodes, your son's blood is going to be on this belt. And when that Rock is done whooping your son, and Roman is done beating your son 1, 2, 3, the Rock is going to take this belt full of your son's blood. And he's going to walk over to you. Mama Rhodes, the Rock needs you sitting in the first row so the world can see. And the Rock is going to walk right over to you, Mama Rhodes, and he's going to hand you this belt. He's going to hand you this belt right here. And he's going to put it in your lap. And you're going to be crying just like your son, and that's okay. Because then the Rock is going to whisper in your ear, Mama Rhodes. And with all the blood on your son's belt here, and your tears on that belt, the Rock is going to whisper in your ear. He's going to wipe your tears away. And he's going to say, Michelle, what can I say except you're welcome?
So, yeah, that was obviously like the shittiest thing he said in that whole promo. The only thing that wasn't much babyface promo. I mean, obviously a very, very entertaining segment. I just don't think you necessitated the reactions that you should be going for, personally. But I digress.
After he did that whole thing with Memphis, I think there was no really turning the tides, I guess. Like, even if he wanted to, you know, say, hey, you know, I appreciate Memphis, and then all of a sudden got into, you know, heel Rock, I don't think he was ever going to get booed, however he was going to talk, because everyone ate everything he set up, except like maybe three things I think he said, and they just kind of booed him a little bit, and then they went right back to cheering. So
right. Well,
I think it was an L on their part for doing that.
Yeah. Well, so that was that segment. Schwartz.
Oh yeah. So I didn't realize that this the tag tournament or I didn't even know that the tag team turmoil match or like the six pack challenge for the tag team belts at WrestleMania. I didn't realize it was a little tournament style.
So unless I missed something, I don't think it's that way on Raw.
I think
it is. I thought about doing it,
but then they stopped.
Okay, they had to have then. Okay, because they did it on Friday. So they said it was going to happen on Raw, on SmackDown, because they were like, oh, we got, you know, two qualifying matches, and then they just didn't work out like that. So I don't know. So there were two qualifying matches on SmackDown, which the first one was Legado del Fantasma versus LWO. I'm over it. I'm over those two. They need to get those two specifically, or the groups. The groups need to be done with. They need to move on. I understand you're trying to build this to WrestleMania, but it's just like, I think we've seen this, you know, these two groups feud for what? Two months?
Something like that.
I'm okay with them feuding. They just need to put more fire into it. And I mean, it's not like they don't have the talent to do it. They got Santos, they got Ray, they got Carlito.
Oh my God, yeah, the talent's great. It's just seeing LWO versus Legado del Fantasma. It's just, I don't know. I'm just like, meh. I'm not really invested because I've seen it 15 times. It feels like
every week. But
yeah,
it's the same thing.
It's a different iteration.
Week.
Yeah, it's a different iteration, but it's the same group. So. This was a little different because it had some, it had meaning to it. So it was LDF versus LWO. Winner goes on to the next round into the finals to face someone to go to WrestleMania. The match was good. It's always good with them. They're high flyers. They do great work. They know each other very well. They ended up, it ended up going back and forth. They're doing great. And it ends up being Legato wins after, you know, they do they threw him up and did like a fucking kick to the gut.
That was sweet.
And I was like, Where the hell did that come from? That was the only thing that like I thought it was like the coolest thing on there. So they win, you know, it was decisive. But correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure LWO got the jobber entrance, and
one of them did. And that's,
it was Legato. They got the real one.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of things saying that Rock keeps going over time or whatever, so people keep getting jobber entrances. I don't want to speak too much to it. Nobody knows if it's true. It's just a rumor, but I did notice
I've seen it. Which is like, it's like, where do you put him then? You know, put Rock in the beginning where all of a sudden everybody has to worry about their entrances and, you know, speed matches, or you put them at the end where, you know, you got to speed them up and say, get the hell out, you know, let's go home with it.
I kind of thought that's how it was like a couple weeks ago on Friday, where like after Cody slapped the Rock, I thought, you know, someone's going to go on, and then there's just stare down and then black screen.
Yeah. So they do keep saying that Rock does, he works the crowd, that's why he takes so long, is that a lot of the stuff that you see, he's working the crowd and he's, you know, saying stuff to him. Obviously, that's not part of his promo. So, adds on a few extra minutes and kind of screws everyone over. So, after that, Kayla Braxton's out in the walkway, and she says that she has an interview with someone, and she kind of looks up and waits for a second, and LA Knight's music hits, which popped everyone. I don't think there's a time that LA Knight's music hits and nobody pops.
Oh, of course.
That is great music.
He's over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over. Kayla asks if he's had luck looking for AJ, and he says AJ's acting like a Knight and has, or acts like Knight and has been looking for him. You know, he kind of references like, hey, you go to Australia, you make the time, you make the effort to go to Australia, but I can't find you when you're in the States, pretty much anywhere I find, or anywhere we go. He makes a challenge for WrestleMania.
I'm talking AJ Styles I'm talking LA Knight.
Yeah.
And I am talking WrestleMania.
Yeah.
AJ, you said I walk around like I own this place. I might not own the place, but at WrestleMania, I will own your ass. And what that means is you will find out exactly whose game this is with everybody saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now from behind, AJ Styles with a steel chair.
So we're getting LA Knight and AJ Styles at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I'm okay with this story. I think it's I think it comes from a good place. It's got some heat and some sensibility behind it with every because this has been building since before Elimination Chamber through the qualifying matches and all that jazz.
This is an Impact Wrestling storyline, basically, too.
Yeah, I don't know if they were there at the same time or not. I didn't follow Impact, but
I'm almost positive that they crossed paths there. I don't know if they've actually wrestled there, but I know they crossed paths.
I'll take your word for it.
Another thing is I've been seeing is that a lot of people are upset with the way that that promo went with LA Knight.
Why?
His interview.
What is there to be upset about?
They're upset that he's too much like The Rock.
Oh, fuck right off. That's so dumb.
That the way that he went about it is too much like The Rock.
That's so dumb.
I didn't see that. I didn't see it at all.
How many people have gotten over with catchphrases and a character that people can get behind and get excited about? Like, I don't know. He doesn't do anything flashy, but like he's still got a unique look. He's still got a unique promo style. I don't think he's anything like The Rock. Just because he can cut a good promo and has catchphrases, that doesn't mean he's like The Rock.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind it. I never have. I like it every time he comes out.
That's so dumb. Next year we got. On. Yeah.
Well, moving on though is another side thing at the end. Nick Aldis though, he's going to be in surgery pretty soon. Did you hear that?
His arm, bicep.
I think that's what it is. Yeah, and he's going to be out. I don't think he's going to be very, very long. So, sorry, Trav. I had to move that in there.
I bet he'll probably be on TV. You can still be a GM with one arm.
That's true.
Next up, we got Nick Aldis backstage, and Logan Paul comes in asking what Randy's punishment will be for giving an RKO to KSI the week before on the Prime logo in the middle of the ring. Logan asks Nick Aldis what the plan is. What's your plan? He said Randy should at least apologize to Nick Aldis for the poor precedents that is being set by Randy. Nick Aldis tells Logan, it would set a good precedence if Logan went and asked for an apology from Randy himself. Logan said that should be Nick's job and said, why should he expect that when he can't even find him an opponent for WrestleMania? Precursor alert. Next, Caleb Braxton approaches the Bloodline backstage, scares the shit out of Paul Heyman. He screamed. Is that where you got that idea, motherfucker? I walk out of the bathroom before this. I knew George was here. Did you see this, Shorts?
No.
George is hiding like on top of my couch like a fucking cat around the corner. I walk out of the bathroom to walk this direction. He scares the shit out of me. Was not cool.
Oh, is that new? Like, I know they did it back, and I guess not new.
I don't know.
That has resurfaced because I remember him doing this like during COVID.
I don't recall. Maybe.
I do remember it. It wasn't this crazy, but I kind of like it. It's kind of funny.
So Kayla approaches them backstage asking if they had a response to Jey Uso's challenge because Jey challenged Jimmy to a match at Mania, the Raw previous. Jey more or less accepted, and obviously we had a face-to-face confrontation with them this last Monday to further that, but that's where that ended. So then we had Grayson Waller versus Randy Orton. Austin Theory at ringside, Logan Paul on commentary. Orton pins Waller for the win. Theory takes out Randy after. He starts holding Randy, just off the floor in a way so Logan Paul can take a shot at him with his Nux. Owens comes out to make the save. Owens hits a stunner on Theory, catapults, and Randy hits an RKO on Theory. Logan Paul escapes the ring. Kevin Owens tries to help Randy up, and Randy almost hits an RKO, not realizing it was Kevin. Then we had Nick Aldis come out.
Logan, so sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to follow up on our meeting from earlier. A couple of things. First off, were you able to get that apology from Randy, or no? Okay. Secondly, I've determined your opponent for WrestleMania. I'm so sorry. I misspoke. I've determined your opponents for WrestleMania. You will defend the United States Championship against Kevin Owens and Randy Orton in a triple threat match at WrestleMania.
That's exactly where I thought that was going to go. I'm glad we're getting that triple threat match. You've already got that story built in with KO. You've already got it with Randy, everything kind of stemming off Elimination Chamber, so I think that'll be an absolute banger of a match.
Was it last week that we talked about it? I'm pretty sure I called it for a triple threat match.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think you did.
I'd have to get the replay.
I don't know if I like the triple threat match. I would kind of like rather see like Austin Theory or Grayson Waller in there too. One of them. Because Randy and Kevin are so close right now. They're in like a weird close relationship.
They'd be one hell of a tag team.
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah. So it's like it's weird seeing them. Go against each other.
How fucking awful was Austin Theory's sell off the stunner?
Terrible.
It took him like 10 seconds to jump up from the stunner. That was that was not
been
good.
Getting so much heat on X.
That was not good.
His excuse was he was trying to jump over Randy Orton after the stunner because he knew that the RKO was coming.
That doesn't make sense. I don't know. Anyways.
I'll find it.
Shorts?
Also, I want to point out before I keep going, the fucking cat mask is above you guys. I'll put that behind you.
He also covered up the title with the stupid-ass Drew McIntyre shirt.
I've been catching myself laughing at that.
It's a part of the set now.
I guess that's fine. I guess.
Guess what's holding it up?
What?
A bottle of bourbon.
Oh, it's brandy. Stupid.
Is it? Yeah,
I can see it from here.
I gotcha.
Anyway,
I mean, I could put it back on.
No, I'd prefer you didn't.
Okay.
Anyways, it cuts to Kayla Braxton. She approaches Jimmy and Paul. Is it just those two, or is Solo with them too?
Solo.
No, that's what I was referring to earlier when she scared the shit out of Heyman.
Yeah, I know Heyman was next to him, but I didn't remember if Solo was with.
Yep, it was Solo and Jimmy and Heyman.
So
and
she scares the shit out of him, which is funny. But Kayla asks if the Bloodline have a reaction to Jay's challenge, and Jimmy grabs.
Did I not just talk about this?
Yeah, we did.
But I'm just saying, do you see that? Like, I know you did, but I'm saying Jimmy grabbed it. Do you realize that he kept saying he was the older brother?
Yeah.
They're twins. Are they older by like two minutes?
It's probably just one of those things that the older twin hangs over the younger twin's head. I'm older. I don't know.
Okay. Am I missing something that they're like maybe a year off, but they're exactly like.
No, I don't think you are.
They're twins. Okay, because I was racking my brain the whole time, and I didn't even think to look it up.
I'm guessing that's where that's coming from.
Okay. But yeah, where are we at?
After Waller and Randy, we had Damage Control in a backstage interview.
Yeah, no, they had the interview. Dakota says she's going to break Bayley. And it's all her fault because this is all basically stemming off of what Bailey created. So it's all coming to her and she's mm-hmm. taking the flack for it. So they had to cut Bailey loose in order to grow, and it's going to send a message to the roster. I heard her say chicks. So I have a feeling she did that on purpose.
She did.
So there's a little things to that where, you know, watch out for the chicks.
The real feud I can really get behind here, it's not Io and Bailey. It's Bailey and Dakota. And I hope they keep it up with between those two. I hope Bailey wins the title and then we get Bailey Dakota, because there's a lot more for me to sink my teeth into if Dakota's a part of that. Io can't talk. We're not going to get any promo out of Io. Io needs a mouthpiece, but I'm much more interested.
The whole faction does.
Well, yeah. I'm just much more interested in Dakota and Bailey over Io and Bailey personally, but that's just me.
Has Dakota ever got a push?
No, she's about to, it seems like. I mean, this damage control thing has been most, I don't want to say most. I mean, she did pretty well in NXT, but obviously she's going to get a lot more, or she was getting a lot more out of the damage control even without being in the ring, so.
I mean, I think she tried to get push in NXT, but then she got called up, and that was the whole, like, her, you know, going after Tegan Nox and taking her out, but I think they called her up at that point, so it was kind of done. Okay, yeah, so it moved on to, again, Legado, but I guess, I don't know, I always think Dragon Lee is technically LWO, even though he's not. I don't know.
More of an acquaintance or alliance or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably, I don't think technically a part of it.
So they had a match. There's really no reason for it other than that when Legado attacked him for it. So I would imagine this is the match that's set up after that. They attacked Dragon Lee and attacked Dragon Lee backstage, and Dragon Lee gets a win over Angel Garza the week previous. So Santos wins with the Phantom Driver, which again, I think LWO interfered, and then somehow he rolls in and does the Phantom Driver. I didn't like that finish. I would rather have had someone like Electra Lopez like interfere or something.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like eh. But hits him with the Phantom Driver despite Dragon Lee taking out the rest of Legado on the ringside. Legado starts to attack Dragon Lee, and Carlito actually comes out to make the save, and he does a couple backcrackers, and then all of a sudden Rey Mysterio comes out and makes the save. Rey takes the mic and challenges Santos to a match on SmackDown tomorrow. So we'll see that. And hopefully this feud is... you think Rey is gonna wrestle at WrestleMania?
Yeah, they're going to take this to Mania, no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think the match is like? What do you think they do? They do one-on-one? Do you think they do a whole group against the whole
four
group?
Four-on-four?
I was just going to say that. I think they do like a four-on-four or something.
Do they cut Carlito out then? Or
no.
Do they put Dragon Lee in there?
I don't think there's five on
LWO, though.
I mean, somebody would set out. I think it's Carlito and Rey have to be there because they're your two like notable names in the group.
Mm-hmm.
But Dragon Lee has been getting all this shit, so...
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Dragon Lee out? And...
I mean, he just lost clean, so, I mean, he doesn't have any momentum coming out of it anyway.
Yeah, it was kind of a rough one, but I don't know, it was good. And next, like I said before, they got two jobber entrances. It was Pretty Deadly and New Catch Republic. And this was the other qualifying match. It was okay. It was good. It was kind of like, you know, however Pretty Deadly wrestles, they're kind of funny. They're great. But New Catch was still so powerful. New Catch Republic wins, and they face Legado del Fantasma tomorrow. And then the winner goes to there, or what? Because
the winner of that match is who qualifies.
Yeah, but they go... Isn't it a six-person or six-team?
Yeah.
So why wouldn't these two teams go then?
So I don't know, but I did look this up in the meantime, and Raw does not have any brackets for this. They've just had straight up qualifying matches, and the winners are going right to the match.
I'm pretty sure they cut them.
For some reason, they're doing the bracket on SmackDown. Why? I don't know, but that doesn't really matter, I guess.
But it's like, why wouldn't these two just get walk-ons into WrestleMania? Because they got three teams from Raw, and then the champs, and then two SmackDowns. I don't get it.
Heard that,
what,
man.
George? Are you looking at the
cat's Cheeto's being a fucking idiot.
Cheeto's in an Amazon bag right now. Now Regal's about to fuck his world up.
just throws him across the room. That would be hilarious. That
would be.
That's like scary movie stuff right there, where it's like trying to make it funny and they actually toss a cat out the window or something. So then the main event happens. It's Bayley and Dakota Kai. Damage Control get a brand new song, or they just kind of cut Bayley's part out? Because I still love Bayley's music.
Really?
I like it a lot. I really I do, and I have. Damage Control's music just seems like they just kind of cut out the part with Bayley's, and they're fine. Otherwise, it's, I don't know, kind of seems like they might have redone it.
I mean, Bayley still, you know, had her music she's had since before Damage Control, and the same music they used as Damage Control, so.
I don't know. I like it. But match starts, and Bayley throws Dakota out the ring and is confronted by Io, Kairi, and Asuka, and they run in. And Bayley punches him. Io nails Bayley, essentially, after, you know, it was a good match, but they ended up DQ. Naomi ends up coming out to help Bayley, but Damage Control is too much and tosses her out the ring. Io does the moonsault onto Bayley, and the show ends with Damage Control over Bayley. So
that was SmackDown.
I did hear that everybody kept asking for EST. So
she wasn't on SmackDown at all.
I was waiting for her to come out, but
there was nothing with Jade either, I noticed. Not that I expected her to come out and save Bayley, just, you know, they've been showing these little contract negotiation or contract signing teases for way too fucking long.
Mm-hmm.
Let's shit her get off the pot. I don't want to see her again until Mania.
She's been trolling a lot of people on X.
Yeah. Or she's on both Raw and SmackDown spending time with Nick and Adam every week before she finally makes her decision. I don't know.
That's a better, that's a better storyline.
Where do you guys think she's going to end up? I think we talked about this.
I think SmackDown needs her more than Raw does.
I'm pretty sure she sign a SmackDown, or at least they said she was going to sign her contract?
They teased it a couple times, and then it ended up not happening for whatever reason. So she's not signed with any one particular brand as of yet.
I'm saying Raw.
I mean, they usually do that with the bigger stars. They'll just put her on Raw.
We'll see. And then, moving on, we got Monday Night Raw coming from Raleigh, North Carolina. The show started with Cody walking out of his bus with Pharaoh. Pharaoh was wearing a bandana that said, "The Rock is a cat." Gotta love that. First action we see, not really action, but first actual segment, Jey Uso comes out into the ring, cuts a promo, states his brothers are there, and calls out Jimmy. Jimmy and Solo make their way through the crowd. Jimmy gets in the ring, and they have a stare down. Jey states that regardless of what has happened, he misses his brother. He tells him to come back. Come back to him. Come back to me, brother Uso. Jimmy says he never left, and it was Jey's decision to leave. Jimmy makes mention that Jey left and had all of these accomplishments, but says it's because of him. It's because of Jimmy that Jey could do all these things. Jey says the biggest moment of his career will be his dream match where he'll knock the yeet out of Jimmy's ass.
Yeet.
And he punches him. Solo distracts Jey, and Jimmy gets him with the super kick. Cody comes out to make the save. I just hope that this feud heats up quite a bit more before Mania, because at this point, I know it's going to be an amazing match. I just don't care enough about it. Then we go backstage. Adam Pearce is upset while he's on the phone. Paul Heyman comes up to him to apologize for Solo and Jimmy going into business for themselves just now, and it wasn't approved by the final boss or the tribal chief. Heyman claims that Roman made Jimmy and Solo leave the arena after that. Heyman then says he is just there for official business, and then he'll be gone. He states, when he does his official business, everyone will be caught off guard. I don't think the hype lived up to what came of it, but that's what happened there.
Yeah, I agree.
Then we got a WrestleMania six-pack qualifying match for the tag team ladder match that we were talking about earlier. It was DIY versus the Creed Brothers. DIY wins, very entertaining match with a great finish. One thing I noticed during commentary, Cole stated that this was the ninth straight sold-out TV that they've had. And I don't know when the last time they had that was, so that was cool. Brutus Creed had a really fucking cool, like, roll-up. He had one guy rolled up and then did a suplex with a bridge to the other guy, pinning them both. It was, that was wild.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like how much cock and balls you can see when the Creed brothers are wrestling. I'm just saying it's just so obvious.
Maybe they need to stuff it.
There's a lot of cock and balls. That's all I'm saying.
Is that what you're focused on?
It's too much. I mean, I understand you're wearing stretchy singlets and stuff, but come on, man. You can contain that somehow. I don't know. Or an attire change. DIY going into that match is going to be great. Not that the Creed brothers wouldn't have been, but very excited that DIY is going to be in there. Cut backstage. You got Judgment Day, and they're talking to Andrade, saying that, no, he has a match next week, and if he continues to impress them, they can make something happen. Andrade walks out. Priest tells JD that he was embarrassed by Ricochet. Rhea agrees. He says that Dom can make it right. JD and Dom go to talk to Pierce to make that match official. Next, one of the most intriguing things to me happening on Raw, honestly. You got Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae versus Katana Chance and Caden Carter. Candice is wrestling very aggressively. Katana rolls back as she's getting lifted by Indy, lands on her feet, and then she tweaks her knee. So as Katana is kind of in the corner, the ref backs Indy up so she can check on Carter. Caden is checking on her as well. Candice blind tags herself in while Indy's standing over there by their corner. Candice comes in, baseball slides Caden, slams Katana's knee into the ring post, and then targets the knee in a submission to win with Indy looking on in shock. Like, you just tagged yourself in, and you went after, like, this poor injured girl. I'm a big fan of this character change, and I think basically Candice is doing this, and she's going to get Indy to come along with her, and I think that they could become a dominant tag team.
It doesn't seem like that, though.
What do you mean?
Like,
it's going to be a ride.
I see it turning into a partner against partner match. Like, you got the good and you got the evil.
I think the women's tag division as a whole still needs to be built up a lot, yeah. And that's not going to do it. I think
you're right, Travis. I think they're gonna somehow she's gonna convince her or at least show her to come back or come to her ways.
Yeah.
What if they start the way back up? From NXT.
Sure.
The way.
Yeah.
This is the way.
Yeah. I'm very interested to see where Candice and Indy can take this. Then next, we have, of course, we've got Cody coming out to cut his promo. First thing that I noticed, even when he first walked off the bus at the beginning of the show, Cody was wearing all black. That doesn't happen often, and I'm like, this might mean something, but I feel like we had a certain intensity out of Cody that we haven't seen too much of. So he comes out and he starts cutting his promo. He says in less than 3 weeks, he's going to challenge the greatest champion in all of sports. He said all of sports. Make note of that, because that's not something that used to happen. It's always been sports entertainment. Now people can say sports. Now people can say pro wrestling or wrestling. I don't know. It's just one. I think that's a big thing that makes it feel more real, I guess, to me. Cody goes on to say that there are combustible elements with this whole situation, specifically The Rock. Cody mentions The Rock's Insta post where he called himself the greatest heel. Cody says he doesn't think The Rock is a heel. He thinks he's an asshole. Mentions how, you know, The Rock was making fun of him for crying in his interview with Michael Cole the week previous, and Cody said that Rock has been doing a lot of crying himself behind the scenes. Said TKO doesn't tell Rock how it is, but he's going to. Cody says The Rock is a lot of good things, but also a carny, whiny bitch. Cody says since Rock brought up his mom, he knows his mom too, but he respects her and says his mom isn't scared of The Rock. Cody says when the bell rings at Mania, is he going to be the old Rock or is he going to have little dick syndrome? It's funny, so I got to play it again.
Six, the bell is going to ring. And what happens, Rock, when the bell rings, right? Are you going to bring the great one? Are you going to be the hero that I had growing up? Are you going to have all that big Dwayne energy? Or is it just going to be LDS, little dick syndrome?
Now, he says he doesn't believe that The Rock is the final boss, but instead Roman's side chick. Paul Heyman walks down the ramp and says he wants to offer Cody an apology for coming out with the NYPD a couple weeks ago because it was dumb and it didn't work. Heyman says he has a message from the tribal chief. Says that on Friday, there won't be a single sign of the bloodline other than him and Roman Reigns. Cody says, deal. Heyman says that he forgot something. Wait, I forgot to mention this. If we're coming alone, that means you're coming alone. They shake hands. Cody says, deal. I thought it was interesting how, A, he said sports. B, he mentions The Rock calling himself a heel. And then Cody mentions other great heels, like Bobby the Brain Heenan and Arn Anderson. Mm-hmm. He named off his great heels. So I don't think there was much, as far as advancement goes, more so just hype for the match. Did you think Cody's response to what The Rock said about Cody's mom, I guess, was what it should have been?
That he wasn't going to, like, talk shit about The Rock's mom?
Or just respond in a much more, I don't know, respond with more anger or something of the sort.
I think it's warranted, though. The Rock keeps bringing in all this family drama, and Cody never even wanted it, so it's more of like, it's kind of like a, like, you know, poking the bear, and Cody's coming back, so.
I'm okay with Cody taking the high road on this. I think a lot of people expected more of a, like, Cody's gonna, like,
stoop to the level.
No, not necessarily that. Just be much more angry about what he was saying about Cody's mom. Like, don't you ever talk about my mother that way again, or I'll kill you. I don't know. But like just something along those lines rather than, let's talk about your mom. I respect your mom. Like, just the weirdest comeback. But, like, I thought it was fine. I like that Cody, the babyface, took the high road. He's like, dude, that doesn't hurt me.
I mean, it saves face when he does that, and I don't know. Then it gets weird when you're like, well, speaking, your mom, and then you start going back and forth about each other's moms. They did it for, like, a little bit, but I don't know. It's not going to look good when everybody keeps going back and forth about their moms.
Couple comments. Phil says, Cody Rhodes, man of the people, grandson of a plumber, understands the common man, wears suits all the time. Shut up, Phil. Colton Ashley said, heck no, Cody needed to bring it and should have been more aggressive. I think either way would have been fine. I think they tried to get more aggression out of him with that promo. he said swear words, guys. He said asshole, and he said bitch, and he said little dick.
He said butthole, too?
Butthole? When did he say butthole?
No, I'm just kidding. Oh.
I'm just glad none that of was got true. Censored out.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, they censored some stuff out that The Rock said, so.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I think different network, too, and I think...
I have a feeling that he's probably going to get more aggressive, the last week or two.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what this whole thing looks like with Cody and Roman tomorrow night on SmackDown.
Do you think is Cody slated for tomorrow?
Yeah.
Do you think either of them are actually going to show up alone?
Cody has nobody.
Yeah, he does.
Bring Seth.
Seth and Jay.
They both offered to help him.
Oh, a 3-on-3 match. That'd be fucking wild.
Cody's going to be too humble, and he's not going to, not unless someone offers it up. The babyface is just going to go by himself. He's not going to ask.
I think they will be alone. Otherwise, one person's going to swing at the other, and the other people that said they would come to help are actually going to be there. Somebody's not going to hold up their end. Excuse me. Somebody's not going to hold up their end of the bargain, I think.
It's going to be Solo.
Yeah, somebody's going to be there.
It's always fucking Solo.
I think, all in all, The Rock has been overshadowing Roman, and tomorrow night is an opportunity to get Roman back up to the level he needs to be, because Rock has been creating all of the heat for this.
If anything, this is like, this is a Cody versus Rock, mania. If someone just walked right in, they'd be like,
right.
This is Rock versus Cody Rhodes. This is
right. So I'm glad. I hope tomorrow we see Roman build that heat for himself rather than The Rock fueling the fire, and that we can focus more on Cody and Roman just as the title match rather than the tag match. There are obviously big implications for this tag match, but you can't make that more important than the title match.
Right. And it's starting to go that way. But it needs to be Roman from here on out.
Yep, I agree. Maybe, we need to see Rock, but Roman needs to speak more. Roman needs to I don't know. He just needs to do more. Roman needs to be the bigger star right now. Not sure that that's possible, but Roman needs to take more of the driver's seat than what Rock is.
Well, is The Rock scheduled for any more? Monday, or not this Monday, but I think it's the Monday before Mania, Rock is scheduled.
He is.
Did you guys see that Rock is, what did he say? He's out. He's going to be out.
Filming
from
a movie.
From May to August.
Right.
Yep.
And normally that'd be like, that means we'll never see him, but it sounds like he's going to be around somewhat frequently.
Like he'll probably stop in. So this might go in all the way to SummerSlam of some sort.
But
something's going to happen.
Obviously, they're going to do Rock and Roman at some point anyway. So
yeah, something's going to be up. But just want to let you guys know it's snowing here in Minnesota.
Fuck, that means it's on its way. I don't think it's supposed to start here for several hours.
10, 11 o'clock.
Yeah. We're supposed to get 2.5 inches.
We're supposed to get like 3 to 5 between now and Sunday.
And then Sunday is supposed to be 9 inches here. And then Monday is supposed to be another 9.
I'll show you 9 inches. Anyways,
I'll give you 3 times.
Cody's walking backstage after the promo he cut. He's backstage. He gets stopped by Jay. He says he knows Roman won't show up alone, and he can be there for Cody's help if he wants. And that was that. Next, we got Ricochet versus Dominic Mysterio. JD tries to go for the distraction, but Ricochet still got the upper hand on Dom, and he wins. They tried to attack him after the match, but Ricochet still got away, and he prevailed.
I like that they're kind of putting him in little spurts, but what are they trying to do with Ricochet? I'm very confused. He's definitely not going to be a part of the of Mania at all. I know he's not, unless it's the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Yeah, TBD. I don't know. I'm a big Ricochet fan. I really miss his old entrance music. Not. Yeah. One.
The one and only one?
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. Okay.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, so that happened. Next, we got Sami Zayn backstage. He walks up to Chad Gable to make peace after last week. Sami senses Gable is bothered by the loss, and he kind of, like, pokes the bear. Like, what's bothering you? What's bothering you? Tell me. Gable says that the opportunity meant more than normal. That's why he's upset. Sami says that his kids cry, too, and Gable isn't the only one that matters in this whole picture. He asks what the deal is with him. Gable says the issue is that Sami can't beat Gunther.
Oof.
Next, we got the Intercontinental title contract signing for the match between Sami Zayn and Gunther at WrestleMania. So they both come out along with Adam Pearce facilitating. Gunther states that this contract signing is the most prestigious in the entire history of the Intercontinental title, and he asks why the challenger is dressed like a bum. Gunther's wearing a suit. Sami states that the smug look on Gunther's face is pissing him off. Says 1 year after main eventing WrestleMania and winning gold, he'll beat the longest reigning Intercontinental champ of all time. Gunther says Sami should listen to Gable, who says Sami can't win, and Gunther looks into Sami's eyes, and he believes that Sami doesn't think he can win either. As Gunther leaves the ring, Sami stops him to tells him to look into his eyes again because Gunther is looking at the person that will take him down. Now, Sami gets out the ring, starts walking towards the back. This was really cool. The camera shot followed Sami all the way down the ramp. It didn't cut at all. Kept the same camera, just walking behind Sami, through the curtain, through Gorilla, through the backstage area, and Sami walks by Awesome Truth and DIY, and the camera stays with Awesome Truth and DIY while Sami keeps going. So Awesome Truth and DIY are standing backstage. Awesome Truth is about to hit the ring. Miz says, all we got to do is beat, and Jinder Mahal and his boys walk by. R-Truth says, I feel sorry for whoever has to face those guys. And the one guy's Harry. DIY tries to tell Truth that it's him and Miz facing them, but they get interrupted by Miz, and he says, I'll tell him. And Miz and Truth are followed by the same camera through Gorilla and all the way through their entrance down to the ring. That whole camera thing they did was really fucking cool. Yeah. I don't think we've ever seen that before, and just another good production change since Kevin Dunn and Vince McMahon are no longer there. I really like that. They stuck on the same camera for probably the longest period of time in the history of Monday Night Raw. It followed Sami all the way out of the ring, all the way through Gorilla backstage, stuck on this new group, and that same camera followed them all the way back out to the ring. That was rad.
I mean, I remember them doing that one time when The Rock actually, it was like before he turned heel, but it was like right before he turned heel. They basically, like, security escorted him out, and he just roasted, like, 15 people before he left. He, like, walked out with the mic, and the camera stayed on him.
Oh, is that when he, like, he started roasting people, like, backstage and shit?
Yes. Dude, yeah, that was so
the donut at Rosie.
Yes, that was it. That was the one.
Yeah.
But, so that whole thing, though, Sami, I have a feeling... There is a small chance that Chad Gable gets added to this this match.
You want
to
have two triple threat matches?
Yeah, fuck it. Why not?
I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
I see this going a couple different ways. Either Gable somehow finds a way to get added to that Mania match, or he ends up turning it to Sammy's coach or something like that, because out of everybody, Gable has the most experience against Gunther for that title, and then maybe turns on Sami if Sami is able to win or something of the sorts.
Yeah,
Gable's still very much a part of this picture, and they're making that clear that Gable's not out. Gable's not lost on this situation yet.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like they're, I don't know if they're just like kind of milking it and just like, because yes, it is sad. like his little girls actually had a legitimate general, like, or general, genuine reaction to him losing.
Right.
It's like, I feel like they're wasting it if they don't put him in there.
Awesome Truth versus Indashir. Apparently means Indian Tiger, I learned.
Did not know that.
Because Awesome Truth won, they qualified for the six-pack challenge ladder match at WrestleMania for the tag titles. Afterwards, we see Sammy confront Chad Gable backstage, and he demands to know why Gable said Sammy can't beat Gunther at Mania. I was supposed to have audio here, and apparently I didn't get it. So, basically, Gable says Sammy needs to change his mentality. You know, he's always been an underdog and can pull himself out of whatever situation when it arises, but he can't do that with Gunther, and he needs to change something or he's not going to win. So, obviously, Gable's upset because he knows he could beat Gunther this time, and he doesn't have that opportunity now. I think he wants Sammy to win, although he's mad that he's not doing it himself. But so I'm curious to see where this is going to be, where it's going to end up.
Do we see heel Gable?
I don't think so.
I don't think, since he's with the Alpha Academy, maybe it feels like him alone, but with, like, Otis.
We would never see heel Gable unless he's, like, no longer worried about Gunther. Gunther's the heel. Gable wants Gunther to lose. But I think this does transition Gable into a little bit more of a different character, which I think is good. I think he needs it.
But, like, what if Sammy does take this title and then all of a sudden it's heel Gable, and then it's like a ongoing thing until...
That's fine.
SummerSlam.
Yeah, I would be for that, for sure. For sure. Next... we got a CM Punk package. He says, you can't have WrestleMania in Philadelphia without Phil. Phil Brooks, not Phil Vicinanza. Sorry, buddy. He said he's going to be at Mania whether or not he's invited. And, of course, we already know he's going to be at Raw this coming Monday. What do you guys picture happens with Punk and Mania? What do you think, he's going to have a role there, just make an appearance? What do you expect for Punk and Mania?
I think he's going to be the host.
Can't hear you, buddy.
I thought it was me.
Oh, now I can hear you.
That was weird.
Yeah.
I don't think that they give him the host. I think that because he's just like, I don't know. It doesn't seem like he would be put in that position. I think he cuts a really good promo, probably on Drew and Seth.
At Mania, you're saying?
Yeah, I could see him doing that, and or some, you know, cutting something, and then somehow just like pandering to the crowd.
I've got another idea for this, and I think you guys will be behind it, but I'll get into that in a second. Because next, we had Drew McIntyre make his entrance. And when he was about halfway down the ramp, Seth's music started to play, totally interrupting Drew's entrance. So they both get in the ring with microphones. Seth tells Drew he wanted to tell Drew to his face that he was right, and he is a spotlight junkie. Drew starts to talk. The crowd goes, "What?" And Drew says, "Saying what means you're glad I took out Punk." And then, of course, there's CM Punk chants. Seth says him being a spotlight junkie isn't a joke. Every time he comes to the ring, it gets better, and he loves it. Drew says he doesn't want dancing, the joking, the laughing. He wants the passion from Seth, and he saw a little bit of it. Drew asks Seth what the reason is the big spotlight will be on them, or he asks him why the reason this big spotlight on them isn't because of both of their hard work instead of what's happening on night one, because Seth is so wrapped up with this tag match at Mania, rather than their title match happening. Seth says Drew is also a spotlight junkie, just like him, because he's been looking for it for the last 4 years. Said that after COVID, when the lights came back on, he fumbled the ball. And when the lights are bright, so is he. I feel like this feud is doing a better job of building McIntyre and Punk than it is McIntyre and Seth. because obviously I like that Drew keeps bringing it up to reassert his position as the heel and say, hey, look at your favorite guy. I took him out. But then the crowd, I think, gets a little distracted because now you got CM Punk chants, and now it doesn't matter what's happening otherwise.
Do you see Drew now winning this and then kind of waiting this out until CM Punk?
I've said the whole time Drew's going to win, and he's going to feud with Punk the second that Punk's ready to come back.
Yeah. Do you see Punk taking it off as soon as this feud happens?
Not necessarily. I think Seth could still be involved in there too, but I also don't know when they're going to be doing a draft, if they're doing a draft, and that would change things a little bit too.
I haven't seen anything.
The draft always happens like a month or so after Mania.
Yeah, so maybe there'll be something there. I don't think they'd announce it this far in advance, though, anyway. So, okay, anyways, my idea for Punk at Mania. So,
let's hear it.
Not to tie everything back to 2K24, but when 2K24 came out, they had a gauntlet match. 2K24 yeah. introduced a gauntlet match in the game, and bam, we got a gauntlet match. One of the other modes that returned in 2K24 was special guest referee.
I know where you're going with this.
So, how fucking cool would it be if you got Punk special guest referee for Seth and Drew? Because we've seen Seth and Drew at least a few times at this point now, even for the title. I think at least twice. So why not change it up by having Punk as a special guest referee?
I've seen it. There has been someone that has, I kind of, surfed the web.
And you know how to use the net, as the kids say?
The net.
The World Wide Web. I have seen that. I just don't know. You know that he has to. There's no way he's counting or doing.
I don't think he's going to do a three count.
Like, there's no way.
If he's a special guest ref, he would, though.
Is he really going to do a three count for Drew?
Yeah, but okay.
Both of them fucking hate him.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's no reason Punk has to not call it down the middle.
He hates Drew more than Seth.
He hates Seth. No, he hates them both.
I think he hates Drew more than Seth.
He's got heat with both of them. I don't see him favoring one person over the other.
Please, Travis, show us how you get on the ground and count like a referee, because this dude isn't using arms, or is not going to not use his arms to count.
Which arm is it? Is it right or left?
He can still count with his left hand.
It doesn't matter. You have to lean with the other one to do it.
Yeah, he's not.
You can't.
He's not incapable of using his right arm.
I mean, he was just working out without the sling on, yesterday?
He's been rehabbing it the whole time.
You have to hold yourself up.
Which he can probably do. He's lifting weights with that arm.
That's different than actually doing the whole movement, running around, getting in position.
George, get on the table and show us how to do a three count.
You really want me to?
Yeah.
No.
But do it from behind, though. Face the fireplace.
No. Why do you want him to do that, fucking weirdo?
I need to see your form. I need to see your form.
By form, you mean ass?
Mm.
Jeez. I hate you guys.
Something he hasn't seen before. What?
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 What? Yeah.
Yeah. Glad we had that conversation.
Got him.
Drew talked about how he's tired of the dancing and the jokes and yada yada. I am too. I am so sick of this character Seth has had for this long. Becky had her stupid big time Bex gimmick, and the second that could change back to the man, it did. And Seth has maintained this.
It's like a Joker thing, though. That's what he even said. He's like, this is like a Joker character.
I don't like it.
I didn't like it when he was, the Messiah or whatever.
Yeah. Didn't like it or you did?
I didn't.
I forgot about the Messiah.
I was fine. I can't take anything he does seriously. When he comes out to face off against somebody, or like Punk, for example, when he came out and did that face-to-face promo with Punk, Seth should have been pissed off. He should have been staring him down with a straight walk to the ring, not singing and dancing.
I could see him doing that in the beginning, but for like for like a few seconds or a few minutes, and then all of a sudden just being completely serious. Because if you do see the Joker, obviously, I don't know how much you guys watch Batman, but
fuck yeah, dude.
He jokes for a second, and then when it's really important, it's all business.
If it's supposed to be like the Joker, I don't think they're doing it well.
Well, minus the face paint,
the greatest.
Yeah, I would like to see Seth get more serious, but that's just me.
Because otherwise it's just going to... Okay, so he loses the title in Mania to Drew. Do you see him doing a little time off and revamp in a new character?
I think he's gonna take some time off. I think he's still...
He should.
I mean, I don't know.
He's got his back.
And his knee. His knee's recent.
Well, I mean, his knee, yeah. Yeah. But his back, they still keep bringing this back up. But I don't know if it's just to say that he had his back injury, or is it actually like messed up still?
I don't know. But time will tell.
Take a long time off. I think Roman should lose. I think he takes a long time off. Mm-hmm. I think Gunther should take a long time off. I think
Roman already takes enough time off. Come on now.
I do think Seth loses. I do think he goes away for a while. I think Drew carries on. His first big feud with the title is Punk, and then Seth comes back eventually.
You think it's Punk that quick?
Not right after Mania. I mean, probably like SummerSlam or something like that. Otherwise, Punk can still build a feud before he's ring ready, like Seth has been doing most of the time. So,
yeah.
But but there's no doubt that when Punk comes back, that's going to be his first feud. Mm-hmm. It's going to be true. There's no way it's not.
I mean,
do we want to see? Should we do a little thing next week and kind of say, hey, who like if champions are going to be, in our opinion, champions are going to stay, or are they going to retain, or are they going to lose? And then,
yeah, sure. I mean, the title matches.
I feel like we should do something.
I mean, other than the tag belts, I think the matches are all pretty set. So sure, and obviously we'll have preview shows and whatnot the weekend of too.
Even if they're not, I mean, we're still like, maybe whoever still has that 24/7 title laying in their closet, maybe we can figure it out.
I don't know who the last one was.
Honestly, I think it was like Dana Brooke.
Oh God,
no, it was Nikki Cross. She threw it in the garbage can.
Oh.
And now she's going for her PhD.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Or no, was it the girl from fucking the Viking Raiders?
I don't think so. Nikki Cross was the final one.
Okay, that's right.
Won it on November 7th, 2022, and then it was discarded.
We haven't had it in like a year and a half.
Holy shit.
We're getting old, apparently. Holy
wow.
Man.
These times are going quick.
You're going to be like 31 in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I know.
You are so old, dude.
You are so fucking old.
Dude, stop.
I'm the oldest one here.
Is that some gray beard hair?
No.
It is.
I don't have it. Fuck you. You can't see it.
It's on your
I can
side.
Confirm it's on the goatee.
No, it's not. It's literally not. Yeah, are you dumb or blind? Or both.
That's the soul patch.
What's that thing that Josh used to say? Are you dumb or retarded?
We don't say that word.
Sorry.
God, we redact it. We redact that word.
There's no redactions.
I'll say it again.
We're doing it live, pal. Fuck it. We'll do it live. That old classic clip. So
God, we need to bleep these things.
After out. McIntyre and Seth, New Day versus Alpha Academy, which is Akira Tozawa and Otis. This was another six-pack challenge tag team qualifying match. New Day win. Then we see Becky Lynch backstage preparing for her match with Nia Jax. Liv walks up to her and says, "The night is all Becky's. Make sure you beat Nia's ass." Mm-hmm. Once again, we see Cody and Pharaoh. They're walking backstage.
Kodo.
Seth walks up. That'd be a good name for a dog.
Yeah.
Or a kid. That you
Kodo.
Schwartz, you and you and Chris,
I should name that?
You and Chrissy should have a kid and name it Kodo.
Why not you and Kelly?
Before I am.
I literally what?
Are you planning on having children?
I don't know, man.
Turns out she's pregnant. And then, they got to cancel the wedding.
I don't know. We get this. I get this question like every week, man.
Same. That's all I get.
Anyways, the whole point was
already. George already has 5 kids, and then he's just taking care of only one.
Yeah, the whole point.
What?
You probably had some wild nights you don't remember, man. That's all he's saying.
Maybe.
America. Cody and Farrah walking backstage. Oh, inside joke. Cody and Farrah walking backstage. Seth walks up and says, Cody, Friday, one-on-one? Cody says, one-on-one, and keeps walking. Referring to Cody and Roman being the only ones at SmackDown, supposedly. And as they walk on by, Seth says, nice bandana, Farrah.
Wait, who'd you say he said that?
What?
Who did you say said that?
Seth. Seth said,
okay.
Cody.
I didn't know that's what you said.
You said Farrah, nice bandana. I thought I said that.
Okay. No, you did. You said it.
Why are you questioning me?
All I did was ask. I didn't think you said.
Hey, I'm gonna tell you now before I forget, because if I don't say it now, I will forget. Don't forget to invite Mike to WrestleMania.
Mike.
Okay. All right.
And Shawnee. He won't come anyways. He's a bitch, but
I'll invite everyone.
Hell yeah.
Night one or night two?
Both.
Yes.
Okay.
And then we got our main event for Monday Night Raw. Becky Lynch versus Nia Jax in a last woman standing match. Cody and Becky keep doing these matches, and I keep getting nervous that one of them is going to get hurt before Mania.
I'm like, dude, just do the Roman thing. Just talk. Just keep talking. Maybe just stop wrestling for these last 2 weeks. Just stop.
Roman hasn't wrestled since, I don't remember when, but it was
Rumble.
Yeah.
Who did he
fatal four away?
Oh, that's right.
He doesn't wrestle SmackDown.
Yeah, which is fine, but you know.
Yeah, but
last time he wrestled on a SmackDown, it was a tag match and they lost.
I hope the week before.
Oh yeah.
Cena in LA.
Yeah, I hope like the week before Mania or whatever, then these people that are going to be in the big matches don't wrestle. Don't do a house show. Don't do a TV. Just chill.
Speaking of house show, apparently there's a house show in Green Bay on July 22nd.
Raw is in Mini, I think like the 17th or something like that of July.
July 29th.
I'm trying to win tickets on 93X, but I'm not. I don't.
Think hey, I'm saying we should have went to fucking Milwaukee tomorrow.
Tomorrow,
we should have.
Still time.
I mean, I the prices that I found for those pretty good seats, like sixth row of the lower section, that's a pretty good price. I paid more for shitty seats.
Nice big Jeep we could take. We'll just plow through the snow.
I don't have any plans tomorrow, so
I have tomorrow off.
But we might have to stay there until like Thursday.
That's fine. Next week. That's fine. I can work anywhere.
I cannot.
We can't do this podcast anywhere though.
We'll take it all with. Load it up.
We'll catch up. We already know there's going to be an occasional week in the summer that we're going to miss. So
there's going to be, I think, a couple weeks.
No.
What's up?
We're going to all call in on our iPhones. You're going to be at a softball game with your kid, and Travis is going to be in a monster truck doing it, and then I'm just going to be sitting here waiting for you guys.
No, you'll be playing you're playing softball or volleyball?
I play softball on Tuesdays.
I play volleyball on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah, we're fucked.
And then I do monster truck shows.
Maybe we'll do like late night shows.
We got to figure it out.
We're going to just stay up until midnight. Trav, you're shit-faced on Tuesdays. I'm shit-faced on Tuesdays.
I'm shit. When am I shit-faced? Why am I shit-faced?
Well, after volleyball, you don't drink and do your volleyball?
No.
Are you, like, normally on call during that time, too?
No.
Oh.
Then what the hell are you doing with your life, my guy?
I don't know,
Stop
man.
Stop being such a grown-up.
Either way, I'm going to have to get, like, the same setup that you have because it's just going to be chaotic.
Oh, fuck.
No.
You can't another microphone? Yeah, I agree.
I'll just drive down here every week.
Oh, that's great.
It's a 20-minute drive.
24. Fucking get it right.
Wow.
Sorry, man.
How fucking dare you, Schwartz? So, Becky Lynch versus Nia Jax, last woman standing. I don't need to get into every little detail, but the notable spots were a Samoan drop onto a pile of chairs in the ring, Samoan drop through a table set up in the corner, manhandle slam off the apron through a table, and then by Becky Lynch, and then Becky Lynch hitting the leg drop off the ladder through the announce table, and that ends up being the end of the match. Becky gets up just before the 10 count, Nia doesn't get up, and then we got Becky celebrating in the ring, and Rhea Ripley comes out, and the show ends with Becky and Rhea face-to-face in the ring. One thing I liked is commentary noted that Becky has never beaten Nia Jax one-on-one, at least not until now. So that was a good stat, put the odds up against her a little bit.
Gave her some legitimacy.
Yeah. The crowd was super hot for this match. They were very into it the whole way through. And that was really cool. I say this, but I still cannot believe I'm enjoying a Nia Jax run in WWE. She's been doing a great job playing a big badass heel, and she is eliciting responses from the crowd.
So I'm not sure if you, Schwartz, seen this on any like platform, but on Liv Morgan's Instagram, she had pictures of herself on a Hyster forklift. And that she posted that Friday before SmackDown. No, I mean Monday before Raw. And I got thinking, I'm like, she's going to come out in a fucking forklift and she's going to like hold down Nia Jax. And that's how the match is going to fucking end.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's kind of clever.
I mean,
you're a smart guy.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Don't give yourself too much credit.
I said sometimes.
Mankind.
One thing that I really liked about the ending of Raw and the ending of SmackDown. Do you guys remember similarities between how those shows ended?
Someone standing tall or what?
Well, both shows ended with the women's title being held up.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, because Io got to put hers up and then Rhea put hers up. Also, Rhea hasn't really done very much either. So, other than Elimination Chamber match, and that was really it.
Well, yeah, there's just nobody really for her to face before Mania. I mean, she's gone through everybody beneath her on Raw, and now we're finally going to get her against a bigger star. They've clearly been keeping Becky and Rhea separated this entire time on purpose, just to get to Mania. So they did that.
It sucks because Rhea's going to lose because it's Becky. I don't want her to lose.
Did you guys see that thing with Cole and Pat?
Yes.
Pumas? You didn't see that?
What?
What was it? What fucking match was it?
Is it Ricochet?
I think so. But yeah. So what the fuck did Cole say?
I might have walked away.
I don't remember. We'll have to send it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I saw it today, too, and it was pretty fun. I like how they've been showing like a camera of some like funny moment or something that Pat and Michael Cole have and they posted online. That's been fun.
They're giving
to watch.
The commentators like a lot more fucking space to do like their own thing. And it's,
yeah.
And that's one thing that Michael Cole has mentioned in interviews too. People have said that they aren't berated as much by Vince McMahon.
Micromanaged.
Yeah. And they get a lot more freedom. So, all in all, that's that. What we know about SmackDown tomorrow is the big thing is Cody and Roman are going to be there, quote-unquote, without backup, by themselves, mano-y-mano, et cetera, et cetera.
I wonder if Logan Paul's going to be there at all. I just feel like he needs to be there these last like couple weeks just to keep going with this title.
Mm-hmm.
There's no fucking chance he walks out of there with that title.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad personally that we didn't go to SmackDown. There just wasn't much advertised for it.
I mean, we could have saw Roman and Cody.
Yeah, but you still don't have Rock and...
Yeah, we can see them when they come to Minneapolis.
Oh, they were talking more about that. Like, there's today they're like almost on a deal.
I did see that. They put the bid in. They put the final bid in.
Oh, for Mania, yeah. Fingers crossed.
You guys, I'm gonna be in so much debt if we have to go.
I hope it would be worth it, though.
It's going to have to reach in my 401k.
I want to work two extra jobs to make this happen if I might have to
find a new job this summer. Not a new, another one.
I'm going to go back into bartending to pay off the credit card I'm undoubtedly going to have to use.
Oh, I was like, what do you... You already have debt? You have all this debt on your credit card? What are you doing?
No, not... I mean, not really. I just...
Whoa,
I'm gonna have
we don't
to.
We don't have to unravel it. We don't have to unravel it.
I'm just saying. I'm gonna have to add some. I'm gonna have to get some. I'm gonna have to. That's gonna be how I pay for Mania tickets, probably.
Discover.
If you could finance Mania tickets,
OnlyFans.
I would.
Feet pictures for days.
Nobody wants to.
Feet finder.
Nobody needs to. Nobody's gonna see my feet. They wouldn't want to. I guarantee it. I have socks on, dummy.
Just go get a pedicure once in a while. That's it.
Do you get pedicures?
I have once.
I've kind of been curious to try it. I have a feeling I'd hate it, though. My feet are really ticklish.
Yeah.
I got a...
No bueno.
I got a mani...
I'd kick somebody in the face. I'd kick them. You? What?
Because they tickled you?
Yeah.
You want to go to that place by Walmart?
No.
Insane.
Or that place by the old Gordy's in Rice Lake?
I don't know. There's something there?
Yeah, it's old Payless.
I'll go to Eau Claire.
Fuck, I still gotta do that.
What do you guys see on night one? Who do you like? Obviously, the main event is going to be the tag match. But what do you like? What have they said anything on what women's title is going to be on night one?
I don't know that they've announced what is going to be on which night. So
who do you see first night?
EO Bailey.
Yeah.
Gunther and Sammy.
I'm with you on all this so far. I'm with you on that.
The six pack, I want to say night two.
Do you see the women's title being on like a kickoff show?
No.
No.
Definitely not.
Not at all. You don't see them being in at all.
No. I don't think any of the titles are going to be on the kickoff show. They're all big enough.
I got you. I just don't see any build for that. Other than...
What did I read today that they want 7 and 7 on both nights. Like 7 matches.
Mm.
7 and 7.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I suppose since they're like 5 hours total.
They'll probably be 4-hour shows, if I had to guess. I mean, they've been. I mean, they're definitely shorter now that they're two nights. Too early to tell, but it'll be interesting to see how they shape it before we get there. And I'm sure we'll know more probably next week. And they'll probably start announcing which night is going to be what pretty soon here. So,
very soon.
Outside of that, did we have any other final thoughts or anything?
No.
Negative.
I'm ready for this.
Nothing.
I'm ready for everything to kind of get better.
Well, SmackDown tomorrow night. We'll see what's going to happen between Cody and Roman Reigns. I don't believe The Rock is going to be there, but if he is, I'm going to be pissed we didn't end up going. SmackDown is in Milwaukee tomorrow night. Like I said, we got 3 SmackDowns and 2 Monday Night Raws left to go. We are very close to WrestleMania. We're very close to doing some punishments, filling out some scorecards, and me winning the bootleg championship belt from Schwartz.
We still need a table.
We'll find a table.
Walmart.
We'll figure that out. And that means we're also very close to a couple WrestleMania Day of pre-shows, prediction shows, and that'll be fun. So outside of that, we'll get more details on that as we plan it out. Otherwise, we'll give you all the old salute here. Thanks, everybody, for watching the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast live right here on YouTube, on demand. Don't forget to find us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, search Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast. And also, don't forget to find us on Facebook and X. On Facebook, just search Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast, and you'll find us there. And I'll put our tag for the X account right here on the screen. Take note of that. Thanks, everybody, for checking out Unprofessional Wrestling. We'll see you next week right here. Adios.
Bye.